Let us hear the word of God. The reading is from the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 23, and that's on page 807 in the Pew Bible. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. The birth of Jesus Christ. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Amen. Thanks be to God for his reading from his holy word.
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm sure at one time or another we've all received a card which has some image, maybe a snow-covered Christmas tree, and the words on it, Christmas greetings. Christmas greetings. I wonder if you've bought your cards. If you haven't, it's getting a bit late. The posting time for many places overseas has already passed. Christmas cards is a tradition that started back in 1843. That was one of the questions in our quiz yesterday. 1843, sending Christmas cards. It's had a good run. But it does seem as though fewer and fewer people are sending Christmas cards. It's not just that a second-class stamp is now more than 50 pence. There are new ways of communicating Christmas greetings. People will put things on Facebook or one of these other ones, InstaChat or whatever the things are other than Facebook. It isn't that we've become less friendly, or at least I hope it isn't. It's just that we've got different ways of sharing Christmas greetings with others than by sending Christmas cards. But I'm sure we've still got one or two cards that we send. And when we send a card, we'll sometimes write on the inside the name of the person we're sending it to. We'll certainly write their name on the envelope. We'll almost always write our own name, the names of our family, on the inside of the card. Names become important with Christmas cards. We sometimes get cards from companies that we've had business with, and it doesn't have our name on it. It's just got a picture, and we wish all our customers a happy Christmas. Fine, that's quite nice. But if we get one that's got our name on it, somebody's thought about us particularly and sent us a card and used our name, that seems more special. Names are important. When he brings greetings, the angel, in Matthew chapter 1, he names Joseph as the one who's going to receive the message. He's going to hear what the angel has to say, the words that the angel brings from God. The angel takes to God, away from Joseph, he takes to God the task of giving the baby a name. Joseph doesn't get to do that. Mary's not going to get to do that. God has a name for the baby. Why would you call a baby Jesus? Why would you call a baby Emmanuel? There are, I think, thousands of paintings of the Annunciation from the angel to Mary. We've got them in the galleries down at Princes Street. They're in just about every art gallery everywhere in the world. Some painting of the angel making the announcement to Mary. There are hardly any of the angel making an announcement to Joseph. Hardly any. Joseph has no less need of an angelic visitor than Mary. And since, as we can imagine, Joseph has an explanation about how Mary's ended up pregnant close at hand, he definitely needs an angelic visitor to come and tell him what's actually been happening. What grace God shows to Mary that he would send the angel to Joseph to bring the word of God to him. What grace God shows to Joseph that in his dream the angel enlightens his understanding of the purposes and the will of God. The grace of God for him and for all people in Mary's child. When it has been used, this icon of the angel visiting Joseph stands as a sign of God's enlightening human minds. God sending his word to enable us to see something of his glory and his purpose. Apart from the angel's visit, Joseph could not begin to understand that God had been at work. But the angel shines into the darkness of Joseph's thinking, the life-giving illumination of the word and the purpose of God. Joseph then is an encouragement to us to pray for this illumination of God, this gift of God, this light to shine in our thinking, in our hearts, that we might know something of God's glory, something of God's grace at work in Mary's son. There's something in the nature of the angelic visitor and the message which this angel brings, which strikes fear into the hearts of everyone to whom an angel appears. Not just Joseph. We read about it last week. Mary was afraid when the angel appeared. Not just Mary and Joseph, but every person to whom an angel appears, and the whole of Scripture is terrified. Don't be afraid. Here's something for you. Those words, don't be afraid, appear in the Bible 365 times. I don't believe in coincidences. I think God has written that down once for every day of the year so that we can remember we don't need to be afraid because our God loves us. But let's stick with the words that the angel spoke today. Joseph, the son of David, do not fear, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. It's a fearful thing to be in the presence of God. When God came down on Mount Sinai to give his commandments to his people, they were afraid to come close to the mountain, afraid to be in the presence of God. They said to Moses, you go speak to him. We're afraid. This alone would explain Joseph's response, but there's something more here. Joseph was afraid because of Mary's pregnancy, afraid to take Mary to his wife, because he now doubts the trust and the love he has placed in her. He now faces public shame by association. Why would he not be afraid of these things? The bright light of the angel's words chase away all the darkness of doubt and fear. God, by his Holy Spirit, has been at work in Mary. God, by his Holy Spirit, continues to be at work in Mary's pregnancy. Now, here's the thing. Do the words of the angel help Joseph in any way to understand how this happened? Does the angel go into explaining how it is that God and Mary together have come by this child? Well, no, he doesn't. doesn't explain how it happened at all. Does the angel explain to Joseph then, perhaps, why did this happen to Mary? Why has this come into his life? Well, no, the angel doesn't explain that either. And yet the message from God is sufficient to chase away all his fear. This message from God, which does not answer all his questions, is enough for Joseph to stand upon. It is enough for Joseph to find that he can trust God and trust Mary and do what the angel says. In our scientific age, we long to have everything explained down to the second decimal point. But our Father is not going to jump through the hoops that we set for him. He is not needing to explain to us every how of his work and his purpose. He does not need to explain to us every why he works in this way and not that way. The word which God has already spoken to us, the word which we have written down for us in Holy Scripture, that word is sufficient for us to trust God. That word is sufficient for us to have faith in Jesus. We don't need a new word from God, just the faithful word that God has already spoken. Don't be afraid just because you don't understand everything. You never will. Don't be afraid because you've still got questions. We've all got questions. That's why in the new year we're going to start once a month a gathering we're going to call Bible Chat. The idea is that you can come with your question. What is it you want to ask from your Bible reading? I'm not quite sure I understand this. A place to ask our questions. Don't be afraid, because by his grace, God has sent his word to you. Read it, know it, depend upon it. His word is life for you. His word is life for us all. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. It would be quite unusual for us, I suppose, if we were out walking in the street and we saw some new mum with a pram, and obviously a very new baby in the pram, and we stopped to chat, and we asked how the baby was going, and then we asked, what's the baby's name? It'd be quite a surprise if the mum looked at us and said, oh, his name's Jesus. Wouldn't be such a surprise if we were in Spain or in some Spanish-speaking country where Jesus remains one of the most popular and common boys' names. The angel tells Joseph that Mary's son is to be called Jesus, not because it was a popular name in Bethlehem or Nazareth or anywhere else, not because it was a name that had been used in the family before. This baby is to be called Jesus because the name tells us who he is and what he will do. This baby was born into a broken world, a world where the mighty, the Roman Empire, could do just as they pleased. Their wealth, their armies, their power was unmatched. At the whim of an emperor, the whole world was thrown into the turmoil of a census. People displaced from their homes to crisscross the ancient world. And this is still our world. A broken world. A world where might is right, where the powerful still attempt to order things to suit themselves. The baby was born into a broken world. A world where the poor could be left homeless and hungry, where oftentimes the cattle found better provision. We might even say better manger than the poor. The gathering of possessions to the harm of others was then, and still is today, one of the great social ills in our world. This is our world where money talks, the mighty dollar rules, mammon is served, and no thought is given to any alternative master. Into this broken world, God sends a Jesus, a baby called Jesus. one to save, one to put back together in right order the broken pieces of individual lives, of families, of communities, of all creation. One to reconcile not only heaven to earth, but earth to heaven and earth to earth. What joy there is in this name. We are saved in this Jesus through the forgiveness of sins. Sins are forgiven when we are made right with God through Jesus and his death on the cross. That barrier which separated us from God is removed in Jesus. He is the one who crosses that divide, who brings us back home to God, who washes us clean that we might appear in the presence of our Father and be welcomed and known by him. What joy in the forgiveness of sins when we are able to forgive ourselves. Forgiveness of sins does not only work between us and God, but between ourselves. Far too many carrying around the burden of ancient guilt, which Jesus died to forgive, but which we don't believe has been forgiven, which we still punish ourselves with. What a great vision in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, where Christian, burdened with his guilt, came to the place where he saw a cross, and the burden jumped from his back and rolled down the hill. How many of us need to be set free from our own burden of sin, which we insist on carrying, which God would long ago have forgiven? What joy in the name of Jesus to have our sins forgiven with God, to have our sins forgiven in ourselves, to be set free to forgive one another, to live in communities where peace is renewed and restored by our forgiving the sins that others commit against us. This is the fullness of salvation which the name Jesus declares to us. Yes, it's great news to know that our sins are forgiven towards God, that we have peace with God. But that's only one part of the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus has come to put the pieces back together, to remake and renew us in ourselves, together with one another, and all this through the forgiveness of sins. The baby is named Jesus for you and for me. He is named for the forgiveness of our sins, named for the new life which we can live, set free from this burden. Come and kneel before this baby called Jesus and know the joy of salvation in the forgiveness of sins. No, don't have another one. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The trouble is, one name doesn't tell the whole story. If you only know the baby by the name Jesus, then there's great joy there in the forgiveness of sins. But it's not the whole story, because there's more than just the forgiveness of sins. Matthew takes up the old words from Isaiah, writing down what the angel said to Joseph. But these words had been spoken 800 years before Jesus was born. At that time in Jerusalem, there was a doubting king. He wasn't sure about God. What he was sure about was he was surrounded by enemies. There were two strong nations which were going to destroy him and his city. And the prophet comes and gathers the king and gathers the court, and the prophet points at this young girl over there and he says, you see her? See that girl there? Before she has a son, before her son's big enough to eat solid food, those two nations you're afraid of, they're going to be defeated. They're not going to trouble you anymore. You'll still be here to see that boy weaned and eating solid food, but they'll be gone because God is with us. This is a word of hope made certain for the king by the name of the child, Emmanuel, God with us. Are we not surrounded by enemies? A devil who would devour us? A world which would entice us with its glittering lights away from our Father? A weak flesh which would have us fall before every temptation? Are we not surrounded by enemies, just like that ancient king? Are these enemies not too strong for us? Powers and principalities, the deceitfulness of heart, the enticements of the world? Have we not fallen before these enemies, and not just once, but many times? Hear the name of the baby. God is with us. God is with us. God is with us in Mary's son. And Mary's son wins a costly victory. Blood bought and flesh paid. He wins this victory for us. The victory which means God is with us always, every moment of every day. God is with us. God is with us in Mary's son. He triumphs over every darkness. He shines more brightly than any darkness. The darkness cannot master him and cannot subdue him. God is with us. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is higher than any other. There is no one like our God, and he promises to be with us. And he is. He really is. No enemy can defeat us. No enemy can harm us. God is with us. From Isaiah's prophecy to the angel's words, this is a declaration of trust and confidence. I am not going to be afraid because my dad is with me. I don't need to be afraid when the phone rings late at night and I wonder what's gone wrong. I don't need to be afraid when bad news comes my way. I don't need to be afraid and worried when the children are far from home and haven't been in touch for a while. God is with us. God is with us. Now, don't get confused. Don't go thinking you can defeat these enemies all by yourself. This is not a call to some sort of gung-ho courage. We don't need to defeat the enemies because we know someone who can. We know someone who already has, the God who is with us. The love of God is already poured out upon us all. Jesus is the name of all majesty and worth, the one in whom all sins are forgiven. The presence of God is already with us. Emmanuel, the name of the baby not only for Christmas but for every moment of every day. The name of all comfort and hope, who is with us. This is our God, Jesus who saves us. Emmanuel, God who is with us. Come then to Bethlehem. Come quickly to this stable. A stable bare with a manger full. A manger full of God's love and grace for you and for us all. Come to the God who comes to you. Come to your Father who loves you. Come to the Savior who died for your forgiveness. Come. Because he has already come for you. Let's pray together. Father, amaze us. Fill us again with the presence of your Holy Spirit and open our blind eyes that by faith we might see Jesus. Where we need to be forgiven, forgive us our sin. Where we need to be set free from burdens of sin, set us free. Tear them from our shoulders. Where we are frightened and alone, be God with us. Emmanuel, today and every day. Defeat all the enemies before us, that your presence might always be around us. We pray that we would know all of that baby in Bethlehem, Jesus and Emmanuel, today and every day. Amen.